Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is your brother Mikhail Ahmed Smith here from Qalam. If you enjoy listening to our podcast, please donate to Qalam by visiting supportqalam.com. We love being able to share this content for free, and your donation ensures that we will always be able to do so. Each podcast we produce has thousands of listeners, so the support you give to this community in this effort brings immense reward. You never know who will benefit from your donation. Assalamu alaikum. All right, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Salatu wassalam ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak wa hubba man yuhibbuk wa hubba amalin yuqarribuna ila hubbik ya Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-huda wa tuqa wa al-afafa wa al-ghina ya Rabbil Alameen. Ya Allah, we gather here, Ya Allah, to become closer to you, Ya Allah. We ask you to give us beneficial knowledge that will make us understand ourselves better and make our understand how to get closer to you, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Ya Allah, make this a gathering which is beneficial for our hearts and our souls, Ya Allah. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna ya Mawlana innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So the section that we're studying right now, Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba rahimahullah ta'ala is explaining to us the a'da'ul insan. What are the enemies of insan? What are the enemies to insan? And of course, when he's saying enemies, he's meaning the things that are going to stop our spiritual progress, stop us from our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, stop us from understanding the reality of what our role is in this dunya. And last week, he and Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba rahimahullah, he gave us a really easy way to remember in like all of the enemies of insan. He gave us one word. What was that one word? Neshhadu. Neshhadu. So noon is for nafs, sheen is for shaitan, ha is for hawa, and dal is for dunya. And so noon is for nafs. We're going to talk about the nafs today. It's that inner self. It's that thing that Allah put inside of us that always wants more. It always wants more. It's never satiated. It's never satisfied. And Allah put it in us for a good reason. I mean, it keeps us going. You know, it keeps a baby asking for more. If a baby was just like sabir, you know what I mean? Like then the baby's going to die. You know what I'm saying? It's by that crying and that crying out that we know the baby wants something. But unfortunately, some of us are like 27, and every time the baby cries, we give it what it wants, right? We give it what it wants. And so as a mature, spiritually mature Muslim, you're supposed to get to the point where you not only can recognize when the nafs is asking for something, but you can also recognize when that thing is bad for the nafs, right? When that thing is not beneficial for the nafs. And so Islam over and over again throughout the Quran and Hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, beware of your nafs. And Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba says that the reason the nafs is so deadly, the reason why the nafs is so deadly is because he says he's a'da al-dakhil. He's an internal enemy. You know what I'm saying? You know, like somebody, like, you know, they say, what's the saying? I'd rather have a close friend, like an enemy that's, yeah, keep your enemies close and your, you know, whatever, you guys get the point, man. Whatever. The point is, man, you're supposed to come in clutch and they saying all this whack stuff. For real. People on the podcast are like, yo, what's going on? All right, so listen, the point is that the reason why the nafs is so deadly, is that the nafs is destroying you from inside. Meaning, what do I mean by that? I mean, you just take anything. Like, it always wants more and more and more. And until you put that stop on it, it will destroy you. You know, it will destroy you, whatever it may be. Whether it's desires, whether it's, drugs, whether it's whatever it could be. Whether it's just food, bad eating habits, right? That nafs is just always like, I want more, I want more, I want more. And the quality that the believer is supposed to cultivate is called dhabtun nafs. Dhabtun nafs is that control of the nafs, right? So what he says is the reason why nafs is so dangerous is because it's coming from within you, and you have to be able to recognize when the nafs is calling. And he basically tells us in this poem that we're going to read right now, he's like, watch out for the nafs, man. It's the most deadly thing. It's the most deadly thing because it just keeps asking for more. And the ideal is that the Muslim is supposed to be led by revelation and intellect, not by the nafs. If you listen to the nafs, it'll destroy you because it never stops. Okay? So let's read what he says. So there's two things we're going to discuss today. We're going to discuss the noon and the dal. So the noon is what? What's the dal? Dunya, yo. We love some dunya, man. He's going to talk about dunya. Dunya is deadly. What is the dunya? Why do we fight against the dunya? Why do we not want love for the dunya? What does it mean? We'll get into that, inshallah. We'll let Shaykhuna Ahmad Dubamba rahimahullah ta'ala benefit us through his words, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَمِنْهُ نَفْسُكَ حَذَرًا وَهْيَا أَذَرٌ أَعْدَاءِ إِنسَانٍ كَمَا جَاءَ فِي الْخَبَرِ لَا تَرْكَنِ الدَّهْرَ إِلَيْهَا يَا فَتَى أَوْ تَرْضَى عَنْهَا بَلْ عَنَاهَا أَثْبِتَى إِنَّ مَكَارِمَ الْفَتَى بِحَسْبِ مَكَارِهِ النَّفْسِ وَقَدَرِ النَّصَبِ. He says, and of the other enemies against you is your nafs. Another enemy against you is your nafs. He says, wahdharan, be on guard. You got to watch the nafs. You got to be on guard. You got to know when it's plotting. Wahya adhar. He says, out of all these enemies against you, that nafs is the most dangerous. A'da il insan is the most dangerous enemy to you. Kama ja'a fil khabar, as the Prophet ﷺ has told us. There's a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ, they were coming back from a battle. They were coming back from a war, like literal jihad. They were fighting people who were attacking Muslims, right? They're coming back from that war. And the Prophet ﷺ says to the Sahaba that we're returning from Jihadul Asghar and going to Jihadul Akbar. And they were like they still bloody, yo. They're still bloody. They're still all sweat covered. And like we're leaving the lower jihad, going to the bigger jihad? What are you talking about? What's going on? And the Prophet ﷺ is like, nah. The enemy between you and yourself. The war between you and yourself. The war between you and yourself. That is Jihadul Akbar. Learning how to fight that nafs. That's why Ramadan is so powerful too. Because it forces us to fight that nafs. It forces us to go against that nafs. And society is completely opposite, guys. You know it. The rule today is nafs rules. There's no more truth even. It's not even intellectual anymore. Keep it real. It's not even intellectual anymore. It's just whatever I desire, that's my truth. Speak my truth. What is it? Speak your truth. Any Austin people up in here? Right? Right? Speak your truth. Your truth simply means what my nafs wants, that's what it should have. And that's what should be legalized. And that's what should be okay. And we're like, no, what are you saying? I'm a Muslim. I don't live by my nafs. I live by what God tells me. And sometimes my nafs likes it. Sometimes my nafs don't. But guess what? That's the way I live. So he says what? The hadith says that's the biggest jihad. That's the biggest fight. He says, لا تركن الدهر إليها. Never relax towards the nafs. Never تركن, never like lean and incline towards it. He says, يا فتاة, O young man or woman. ولا ترضى عنها. And don't be pleased with it. Because the moment you get pleased with it, he says, but rather be harsh and firm with it. He says, indeed, the nobility of a person, this is beautiful. He says, إِنَّ مَكَارِمَ الْفَتَى, the sign of a good person, a good young man or woman. He says, بِحَسْمِ مَكَارِمِ النَّفْسِ, مَكَارِهِ النَّفْسِ, is according to that person's ability to go against their own self. وَقَدْرِ النَّصْبِ, and their ability to try hard, to fight. You know the Navy SEALs, yo? You know the Navy SEALs, they got this rule called like 60-40. Y'all heard of this? Yeah. All right, this is pretty legit. So Navy SEALs are known for people who are able to go against the nafs, if you think of it from that perspective. When the nafs says quit, they say what? Keep going, keep going, keep going. Now, one of the things I read in a book on self-discipline, I can't remember the author of it, it's a book on self-discipline. One of the rules that they go by to push themselves further, right? Because the nafs, remember, guys, the nafs always wants to chill. The nafs never wants to work. If it has a paper to do, if it's got work to do, Like, it'll read anything, but it won't read the homework assignment, right? It'll stay up late, but it won't stay up doing the work. It doesn't like to do what it has to do by nature. So like Navy SEALs, they're trained to overpower the nafs and not listen to it. That's what they train themselves to do. So one of the techniques, this is legit. One of the techniques that they use is called 60-40, which is what? Which is whenever your nafs tells you to stop, it's actually only 40% done because it loves to be in a cushy spot. So they know once my nafs says stop, then I still got 60% left inside of me. You feel me? You get what I'm saying? And it's beautiful. It's beautiful because anytime, if you're into any sports, if you like, one of the sisters, she ain't here right now, but she's like a marathon runner or whatever. I know she'll be like shaking her head here. Because like when you're doing that, your nafs is like, yo, chill. We could be at home. Why are we running right now? Like literally, the nafs is like, why are we doing this? And you're like, no, nafs, I want you to run because this is what's better for me. When it comes to deen, it's the same way. It's like, no, nafs, I know you don't want to pray right now, but I don't care what you want. I know what I need for my spiritual progress. I know what I need to do. So they have this concept of 60-40. It's really beautiful because it's kind of training you that your nafs lies to you, basically. Your nafs lies to you on purpose to keep you in that safe zone. And so I thought that was a really interesting... So can I share something with y'all? I don't know why I'm chilling so much today, yo. But so I was at jiu-jitsu, right? Like, I just wanted to tell you I was into jiu-jitsu. No, for real. So I was tired, right? And it's really hard, right? This dude's trying to like tap you out, right? And I'm exhausted. And I'm really ready to quit, kinda, right? With this one dude, I'm like, ain't no one gonna see me quit, whatever, it's all good. Like, and then the coach walks past and the coach yells at the dude against me. He's like, tap him out. And as soon as I hear that, I like jump up like, no. And I start going crazy, getting into it, whatever. So at the end of practice, the coach was like, you know, he's giving us a little pep talk. He's like, see, that's what I'm here for. You know, Smitty over there. That's what he called me, right? What? That's my nickname. That's my nickname, right? Smith, right? Smitty. All right, so he's like, Smitty over there was about to quit, right? He was ready to quit. But when he heard me, all of a sudden he got energy from somewhere. And I hung my head down. I was like, yeah, you know. And he was like, that's what I'm here for, the coach, to push you. But my point is like that nafs was just ready to quit. And throughout, now that same athletic thing, y'all need to understand that in religion, we have to have that same mentality. When it comes to spiritually exerting yourself for the sake of Allah, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ those who strive and struggle in our way. So the point is, when it comes to life, we all understand. You want to be a marathon winner? You better practice and run and go against your nafs. You want to be whatever, you got to go against your nafs. Then when it comes to religion, we're like, yo, it's supposed to be easy. Like, what? Like, why did you just break your rules? You know, anything, is struggle is intrinsic when it comes to growth. So spiritually, what I need us to understand as young millennial Muslims is that spiritually, if I want to grow, there's struggle to fajr, yo. There is literally struggle to fajr. And that's what deen is about. Y'all feel me? Okay, so he's saying that the sign of a person's nobility is according to their ability to go against the nafs, وَقَدْرِ النَّصَبِ, and their ability to work hard. So he says, وَجَاهِدِ النَّفْسِ امْتِثَالًا لِتَكُونَ كَلِمَةُ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ عُلْيَا يَا فَتِينَ. He says, so strive against yourself so that your Lord's decree is what's highest. What does that mean? Don't let your nafs control and dictate your actions. Rather, you can tell your nafs what you want it to do, and it should be that you're telling it to do what Allah wants it to do. You get what I'm saying? غَضُّ الْبَصَرِ, lowering your gaze, like, right? That's part of our religion, right? Part of our religion is that we lower our gaze from lustful glances, right? The nafs is like, yo, there it is, look, right? Every time I'm talking about gaze, is my man Abu Bakr in the back smiling at me. My man Abu Bakr. If y'all don't, it's inside Joe. Abu Bakr is, can't see as well. Mashallah. So every time I'm talking about sight, he's always like smiling at me like, yo. May Allah bless you, man. May Allah bless you. So that lowering the gaze is hard, right? Like you're walking down the street, you see something beautiful, the nafs says it's beautiful, let's look at it. And now you have to struggle with the nafs because you say, I want Allah's command to be most high. That's that jahid right there. That's that struggle right there. The Prophet ﷺ said the one who lowers their gaze in spite of having the strong desire to want to look at something beautiful that they're not supposed to, Allah will give them the taste of iman in their heart. Will give them the taste of faith, the sweetness of faith. SubhanAllah. So he says, fight your nafs so that the word of Allah is above your nafs. وَحَاسِبَنْهَا كُلَّ لَحْظَةٍ أَبَدٍ يَيْسُرْ حِسَابُكَ غَدًا عِنْدَ السَّمَدِ. It's beautiful. He says, وَحَاسِبَنْهَا كُلَّ لَحْظَةٍ. And hold your nafs accountable every second. Hold your nafs account. He used the word hasib. Hasib is like an accountant. You know, like an accountant. He's like, hold your nafs accountable every second. And then he says something beautiful. He says, if you do that, yaysur hisabuka ghadan, tomorrow your hisab will be lighter. Hisab, you're accounting tomorrow. What's tomorrow, guys? Qiyamah. He's like, you take this nafs to account now, accounting then is easy. Accounting then will be easy. So the concept of taking the nafs to account is this concept where, again, you're not letting it do what it wants to do, but you're keeping it in check. Not only that, you're monitoring the nafs. You're monitoring it. You're watching it. وَلَازِمَ النَّفْسَ بِذِكْرِ الْمَوْتِ. So muhasiba, by the way, is something that the scholars recommend you should be doing every night. What's muhasiba? It's like a type of meditation where you take account to your day. Spiritually, right? Like, you know how we be checking the, you know, bank account? Like, all right, where my money go, right? Right? You be, right? Same way. With spiritually, it's like, yo, what did I do today? What did I do today? Was I getting closer to Allah at all today? Am I in negative today? Right? So that concept of muhasiba is something that the believer is supposed to do regularly. Umar bin Khattab said, hasib nafsaka qabla an tuhasib. He said, take yourself to account before you're taken to account. That's Umar bin Khattab's statement, radiallahu an. Hasib nafsaka qabla an tuhasib. Take yourself into account before you're taken to account. وَلَازِمْ نَفْسَ بِذِكْرِ الْمَوْتِ وَحَوْلِهِ مَا اهْتِرَازِ الْفَوْتِ. He says, and the next thing you have to do to your nafs, the next thing that you have to do to your nafs, he says, وَلَازِمْ النَّفْس بِذِكْرِ الْمَوْتِ. You control the nafs by remembering maut. What's maut? Death. Now, again, every time we get some new faces here, alhamdulillah, so I have to repeat a few things. When we say remembering death, that's not this morbid thing. The concept of remembering death is something that just keeps the nafs in check. Going to the graveyard or even just straight up just thinking about, just... at the end of the day, thinking like, my life ain't that long, yo. Like, I'm not here forever. That's the point. Once you realize you're not here forever, it changes perspective on actions. Like, I always give the same example, but it's a reminder for myself as well, which is, look, if you knew tonight was the last night, how would you be spending tonight? How would you call mom? How would you call dad? How would you pray tonight if you knew tonight was the last night? So that dhikrul maut puts that nafs in check. You feel me? Think about what I'm saying. Like tonight, nafs is like, yo, I'm going to sleep. Right? But if you were like, yo, man, life's short. You're like, yeah, let me bust out too. You know what I'm saying? Let me call mom real quick. Life is short. I don't know if she's going to be here. You understand how the nafs gets lazy, but the moment you do that, dhikrul maut, the nafs is like, yo, get in your spot. It's beautiful, man. He says, وَكُنْ مَدَ الْأَزْمَانِ مِنْهَا فِي الْحَذَرِ. He's repeating himself a bit. He says, always, always be on guard. Be on guard. كَمَنْ يُلَاقِي أَسَدًا يَبْغِي ضَرَرٍ. Like the one in front of a lion that's about to attack. فَإِنَّهُ يَكُنْ مَذْرُوءًا أَبَدٍ. If someone was standing there and that lion or something was deadly in front of them, they're focused on it. They're not going to slip for one moment. إِنْسَ أَتَنْ يَقْفُلْ يُحَاوِلُ الْأَسَدِ. Because the moment you start to slip is when the lion's going to attack. So he's like, the nafs is the same way. You're constantly watching that nafs. Because the moment you let off the nafs, It takes us. SubhanAllah. وَتِلْ عَدَاوَةُ بِهَا الشَّعْنِ نِعْمَةُ رَبِّنَا عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ. He's like, if you develop in yourself this animosity to your nafs, he says, نِعْمَةُ مِنْ رَبِّنَا. This is a blessing from your Lord. See, again, if I apply this back to anything else in life, right away you're like, yes, straight up. If I apply it to athletics, if I apply it to weight, if I apply it to college, school, money, you're like, oh, yeah, you got to go against. Yes, make room. You know, there's brothers in the hallway. Just squeeze in. MashaAllah. Allah increase. I mean, as much as possible. Okay. So what is he saying? He's like, this is a blessing. When you become on guard against the nafs, it's a blessing. And what I'm hoping happens after this dars is that you become more aware of when the nafs is asking you to do something. And so what that means is you're always just checking the nafs by sharia and aql. That's it. Like the nafs is like, I want this. You're like, yo, hold on. The nafs is like, I want that. You're like, hold on. And that's the idea, is that you've gained control now of the nafs. So he's done with the nafs. He goes on to the next thing. Any questions on this before I go to dunya? Because he's about to go to the second enemy, the third enemy. Yeah. Same thing, basically. The question was like, what's the difference between your lower desires and your nafs? It's the same thing. Nafs is an Arabic word that's used for a lot of things. By the way, as I said many times before, there's three types of nafs in the Quran, guys. Right? There's the nafsul lawama. Nafsul ammara bisu, it's the inner self that's always asking you to do something bad. And then there's nafsul lawama, it's the inner nafs that wants to do good and feels bad when it does bad, right? Lawama, it makes you feel bad after you do it, right? The lowest one don't even feel bad no more. And then nafsul ammara is when your nafs is so used to good, the nafs itself is telling you to do good. Nafsul mutama'inna, right? So there's some people in here, they're just like, what you talking about? My nafs is like on point, yo. My nafs tells me to pray to Hajj, yo. My nafs tells me to fast, yo. If you at that level, mashallah, yo. Any other questions? So the lowest is Ammara Bisu. The second is called Lawama, the blameworthy nafs. It's telling you to do bad, but it feels bad, it slips up, stuff like that. And the third one is nafsul mutma'inna. It's mutma'in, it's at peace with Allah. It's at peace with Allah. Whatever Allah says, it's like, I'm down. I'm down. You know what I'm saying? SubhanAllah. Okay, bismillah. Faslun, next section. So here, he's not talking about dunya anymore, mashallah. He's switching it up to the dal of this Nashhadu. The dal is for dunya. And so he now begins to talk about hubba dunya, love of the dunya, and how... See, as believers, guys, we're not at home right now. We're not at home. Do you know what I mean by that? Like, dunya, by definition, and of our understanding of creation and everything, we're not at home. We're in transit, right? And so what dunya actually means, there's two meanings for dunya, which is translated, guys, as worldly life. If we want to say what is dunya, it means worldly life. But let me give you a deeper understanding. One thing dunya means is the thing that's closest to you. It's the thing that's closest to you. And so the one who loves the dunya is the person that can't get over instant gratification. They want everything now. They can't get the concept of doing things, delaying this gratification for something later. And so that's one meaning of dunya. But the other meaning of dunya, which is a deeper meaning I need you to write down and understand, is dunya is anything that's going to distract you from your purpose here. Anything. Anything that's going to distract you from your purpose here is dunya. I mean, for some of us, coffee could be dunya, straight up. For real. Like, some of us use it, yo, I just need my hit, keep going. It's not a purpose, I'm not here for it. Because I need it on the way. But for others, it becomes the purpose of life. That's a nice coffee right there, bro. Now you feel, I need you to understand the difference, right? There are some people who have the dunya, but it doesn't become the objective of who they are. It's not what they're seeking for. It's not what they live for. And so the concept of dunya is that we're always taught that we're supposed to be giving preference to the akhirah over the dunya, using the dunya to gain the akhirah. Does everyone feel me on that? We're using the dunya to gain the akhirah. We're not making the dunya or the short term the objective. And so that's what he's going to be teaching us here in this section, that you have to be very, very careful about falling in love with the dunya. And he's got some powerful words. Let's let him lead the discussion, inshallah ta'ala. وَمِنْهُ تِدُّنْيَا دَنِيَّةُ الَّتِي حَقِيرَةٌ جِدًّا لَدَى ذِلْمِلَّتِي. He says, and the third enemy against insan is a dunya. Dunya. A daniya. He's like the low dunya. أَلَّتِي حَقِيرَةٌ. The dunya that's not worth anything. Why is he saying حَقِيرَةٌ? Because the Prophet ﷺ over and over again, he kept emphasizing to us that, listen, the dunya isn't worth you losing the akhirah. It's not worth it. It's not anything compared to your akhirah. And so he's saying to us that what? It's حَقِيرَةٌ. It's nothing. It's worthless. It's not worth it. لَدَيْ ذِلْمِلَّتِي, according to the one of the religion, the Prophet ﷺ. So he says, فَانْفُذْ يَدَ الْقَلْبِ لِزُهْدٍ فِيهَا مِنْهُ لِتَزْكُوَ الَّتِي تُبَدِيهَا. He says, so dust off your hands from the dunya. You know how you get you do some work, whatever, and your hands are dusty? You keep it rolling, you dust it off. He says, dust off the hands of your heart from this dunya. I need you to get that, hold on. Dust off the hands of your heart from this dunya to remain clean. What he's trying to say is this: the dunya shouldn't be the thing that your heart is so connected to. The dunya shouldn't be that thing that your heart is so connected to, because that's not your objective. As I said earlier, we're not home right now. We're in transit, yo. We're in transit. And who's gonna set up shop at the airport, yo? You know what I'm saying? Like, the airport, you just like, you sit in an uncomfortable chair real quick. Like, whatever, man, I'm out in a minute. Like, some of us got that VIP status, whatever, but. But most of us, we get to the airport, we don't think, like, I'm spending a lot of time here. If anything, the longer time I have to spend, the more upset I am. Because it's stopping me from getting home. It's stopping, for the believer, I'm not home right now. And here's the deal. The dunya was not designed in a way to give you satisfaction. By design, it was designed in a way that it's going to leave you feeling empty. It's going to leave you feeling empty because it's not designed for fulfillment. The place of fulfillment is Jannah. So by design, Allah created the dunya in a way where it's going to leave you frustrated. The people you love, as I said before, are going to what? Either they're going to leave you or you're going to leave them. Guaranteed. Everything from the dunya, you love it, it's either going to leave you or you're going to leave it. By design, the dunya is not created to give you that fulfillment. It's created like an airport. The Prophet, let me just share a hadith with you guys. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, beautiful hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Mali wal dunya, mali wal dunya. What do I got to do with the dunya? Mali wal dunya. What do I have to do with this dunya? Inna mathali." وَمَثَلُ الدُّنْيَا, the example of me and this world, كَمَثَلِ الرَّاكِبْ صَارَ فِي يَوْمٍ سَائِفٍ. He's like, it's like someone who was riding on their horse in a hot day, and then فَرُوفِيَتْ لَهُ شَجْرَةً, he sees a tree, فَقَالَ تَحْتَ ظِلِّهِ, he goes, he lays and sleeps under the tree, سَعَةً, he wakes up, ثُمَّ رَاحَ, and he keeps it rolling. The Prophet ﷺ is like, this dunya is like that little nap under the tree. You feel what he's saying? He's like, this is the short one. This is, Imam Ghazali says, look at it this way. Imam Ghazali, he says that
look at the time before your creation, look at the time of your creation, and look at the time after your death. Now compare the length of your time compared to those things. Allahu Akbar. And you're going to sacrifice, what, 60 years? I mean, how many we got left, y'all? The average age in here is like 25, 26? Average, I said average, all right? Average. Right. But the point is, right? What's the point is what, though? The point is, like, how short it is. How short it is. And the Prophet ﷺ is explaining to us, he says for himself, Mali wa lidunya. The Prophet ﷺ, when he's passing away, he's looking up in the sky and he's saying, Ila rafiq al-a'la. I'm going back to my friend. I'm going back home. Like, he's constantly saying, when Bilal was passing away, Bilal, the mu'adhin of the Prophet ﷺ, he's passing away and his wife is screaming. She's like, wa karaba, wa karaba. He's like, nah. He says, wa faraha. He's like, no, this is such a great moment. Ghadan Muhammadin wa hizba. He's like, tomorrow I'm with my boys. Muhammad and his crew. I'm going home. So the concept that we as believers have to get deeply ingrained in our heart is that this dunya is short. It's not designed to please. It's not designed to be the source of fulfillment. It's designed to be a means for you to grow your akhirah and dip out. This is designed for what? Simply to work hard to gain your akhirah, and I'm chilling after that. And it's short on top of that. It's short on top of that. But the problem is, yo, we get caught up, yo. We get caught up, straight up. Imam, can I give you an example? Imam Ghazali, you know how we get caught up? Imam Ghazali gave a legit example. This is in Ihya al-Umadin. Imam Ghazali goes, look, let me give you an example of how we get caught up in the dunya. I want y'all to pay attention. Write this one down for sure. He says, all of us are like a bunch of people who got on a ship. And the ship is going home. The ship is going home. And as we're traveling, the captain stops the ship at some remote island. And he says to everybody on the ship, he says, you know what? Get off for a little bit. Check out the island. Relieve yourselves. Get some food. Whatever you need to do. But we're going to dip out in a little bit. We're going to dip out in a little bit. And the captain's like, yo, the island's dangerous too. Be careful. Don't get too caught up. The island's dangerous. Feel me? So Imam Ghazali says, when the people get down, there's different types of people. He says the first person that got off the ship gets down, relieves themselves, gets some food, looks at the island like, yo, I ain't here for the island. Gets back on the ship. And he says, now when this person gets back on the ship, because there's no one on the ship, he gets a nice comfy spot. He lays his bed out. He's chilling. Everybody else on the island, I got my spot now. Right? And he's chilling. Imam Ghazali says there's a second group. The second group, Imam Ghazali says, comes down. And the moment they come down, they're like, whoa, yo, this island is legit. They start, you know, looking at the birds, looking at the flowers, going all over the place, checking out. And as they're going, then they remember. They're like, oh, yo, the ship. So Imam Ghazali says the second group dips back. But when they get back to the ship, it's like a lot of people already took the nice spots. So they get like a little like tight spot. You know what I mean? Like this halakha right here. Like a tight spot. A little tight spot. But they got a spot on the ship. Then Imam Ghazali says there's a third group. The third group, he says, they get on the ship. They get off the ship. And they get caught up too. They get caught up and they're looking at this, they're looking at that. This is legit, this is beautiful, looking at that. And not only do they get caught up in it, they start grabbing stuff like, I'm taking this with me. I'm taking this with me, right? And so here they come back. They finally hear the guy calling, like, we're leaving. So they get back, and when they get there, all the nice spots were taken up, all the business class was taken up, economy too. They fly in Spirit now. You know what I mean? Never again in my life will I fly Spirit. Ever. Never. Horrible. Third group. Third group, right? Third group has all this stuff now. Not only do they not find a spot on the ship, but they got a tight, they find a tight spot, but they got all this stuff that they're holding. They can't put it down, so they're just literally holding it. Holding it. All these storages, like, you want to make money? Just open a storage, yo. Everyone has more than they can hold. Everyone has more than they could. They can't get rid of stuff. He's like, so they find a spot, but they're holding it. And now, not only do they have a tight spot, but now they got to worry about holding it, keeping it safe, everything. Third, fourth group. With us, three groups, right? Fourth group. Fourth group got off. They got caught up. They saw everything. They got deeper and deeper on the island. They got so caught up in the island, they didn't hear the melech. They didn't hear the captain giving the call back. Ship left. Stuck on the island. Imam Ghazali says, matter of time, the animals eat them up, snake bites them, whatever, they're done. They die on the island. Imam Ghazali says, yo, this is the example of us in the dunya. We're traveling home. Allah says, come to the island for a little bit. We about to dip out. What you gonna do? Get right. See, he's like, the people that get caught up in the dunya, the people who just went out and... He says that the people who just went and got right back, these are the people that suffice themselves with little bit. They're okay with just a little bit. Because they understand, I don't need a lot. This is a short ride. You know what I'm saying? You ever travel with someone that takes a lot of stuff with them? You know what I'm saying? Like, some people understand, like, yo, we just going there for like 3 days, man. You know what I'm saying? And like, they travel light. But Imam Ghazali is giving the example here that those people were people satisfied with just enough. And that's what he says, when you take hubba dunya out, you become a person that can be satisfied with kafafa, what is enough for you. Let's read Imam Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba rahimahullah ta'ala. The problem with it is this. Here's the deal. Happiness and sadness should not be predicated on the presence or absence of things in your life. Happiness or sadness should not be predicated on what? The presence or absence of things within your life. If things coming and going bring happiness or sadness, you've missed the point, yo. You've missed the point completely. You've missed why we're here completely. The point is, the happiness and the sadness comes based on your relationship with Allah, not based on your acquisition of things. Because things will never, ever, ever fill your heart. Look what he says. Let's read Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba rahimahullah. وَمِنْ هُتِ الدُّنْيَا I read that. He says, فَانْفُذْ يَدَ الْقَلْبِ لِزُحْدٍ فِيهَا Dust off your hands, yo. قَلْب Like, dust your hands off from this dunya. Dust them off. لَا تَفْرَحَنْ بِسَبَبِ الْمَوْجُودِ مِنْهَا وَلَا تَحْزَنْ عَلَى الْمَفْقُودِ He's like, don't become elated or so happy just because you get more. And don't become so sad because you get less. Again, he's trying to tell us your happiness and sadness should not be predicated or dependent on the presence of things of this dunya. لِأَنَّ حُبَّهَا بِتَبَعٍ He says, because the love of these things, though it's natural, رَأْسُ كُلِّ رَدٍ وَمَا دَرَاهُ النَّاسُ He says, this is based on a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, حُبَّ الدُّنْيَا رَأْسَ كُلِّ خَطِئَةٍ The Prophet ﷺ said, love of dunya is the source of every sin. Every sin, the source of it is your love of dunya. Now remember, when I say dunya, I need you to understand something. By the meaning of dunya, we mean when your heart is connected to anything other than Allah, that becomes dunya for you. That becomes dunya for you. So he says, وَكُلُّ شَرٍ مِنْهُ ذُو تَفَرُّعِ Every evil branches off of love of dunya. مِنْ أَجْلِ ذَا يَتْرُكُهَا ذُرْوَرَئِ Because of this, the people of piety, they drop off the dunya. They're like, yo, I don't need more of it. I just need what is enough. The Prophet ﷺ, he made a dua, Allahumma ja'al rizqa Ali Muhammad quta. Oh Allah, make the rizq or the sustenance of the family of Muhammad quta. What is qut? Qut means what's enough for today. What's enough for today? The concept that he's trying to get to and teach us is that all we want from this dunya is enough. Do you understand what we mean by that? We don't want a lot. And we don't want a little. The Prophet made dua, oh Allah, just give me enough. Just give me enough. And so that's what we strive for. Now that's different for everyone, no doubt. Right? That's different for everyone. The way we live in our lives here, right? Our enough may be slightly different. But the concept is still there that once I have enough, that's it. I have enough. And so the Prophet ﷺ used to make that dua. And so what is he saying here? He says that once you've understood that the evil, all evil comes from that love of dunya, then the people of righteousness were always people that were giving up the dunya as much as possible. He breaks the dunya down into this. Listen to this. He says, when it comes to acquisition, I want you to understand acquisition from the perspective that there are three types of acquisition. Things that you can get. Haram, number one. Doubtful, and halal. I'm talking about things I can get, I can earn, I can get. I can earn haram. We all understand that concept, correct? Like I have a haram job, selling haram stuff, whatever. I can earn haram. To acquire that, we all understand that's sinful, that's dangerous. I'm disconnecting myself with Allah. He says, and then the second category is what? Doubtful. So I don't know if this thing is halal or haram or not, but I got it anyway. He says, that's trouble too. That's dangerous, obviously. He's going to explain how that's darkness on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And then he's like, halal. Now this is where we're all at. We're like, okay, cool. Everything I got at home, the 5 pairs of shoes, you know what I mean? The 25 hijab scarves, you know what I mean? What do brothers get? I don't know. The J's sneakers? There you go. The 5 different, you know, sets of sneakers, kicks. Like, that's all halal, Sheikh. So I'm good. It ain't haram. It ain't doubtful. It's haram. You know? It's all halal. My bad. My bad. So look, but listen to what he says. What he's going to say next is, but here's the deal. Here's the deal. Out of all of the halal things that you acquired, forget the other two categories. We're like, you know, we're not even dealing with that, inshallah. Out of all of the halal, he says, there's normally going to be 3 reasons why people acquire those halal things. That extra pair of J's, that extra Michael Kors bag, whatever it may be, right? He says, number one, is tafakhuran. You got it just to show off. You got it just, that's the only reason you got it was to show off. Now you got issues there. He says the second reason is you did it takathuran. Al-hakumu takathur, just to acquire more. I just need more stuff. Takathur means just to pile up more stuff. He says, now you got another problem. So this is all in halal. This is, again, that second Michael Kors bag, the third Michael Kors, the fourth Michael Kors bag, right? Yeah, they hating me right now. It's all good. The third reason why you got more of the halal, shahwatan. Just desires. Why you want another phone? I don't know, I just want it. You know what I'm saying? Like, just shahwa, just desire. Like, I simply desire it. Yo, you need another phone? Nah, my phone is fine. I just got the 10. So you need the 11? I don't need it. I just want it. How many times do we justify purchases and things we get just based on, I just want it? That's not the justification. Like, because you're just living out of desires again. You're just living based on shahwa again. And so he said, out of the halal, these are 3 reasons that are non-legitimate reasons for acquisition of dunya things. You get what I'm saying? So now when it comes back to like, okay, I need a car, I need this, I need that. The question is, what's dunya, what's not? The way you can have that litmus test is you ask yourself, first of all, is it haram or not? If it's halal, now we're in the next category. Now you're like, what's my reason for it? Is it to show off? No, I don't need to show off. I don't care about nobody. Is it to kathudan? I just need more? No, I don't even got one of these already. Right? Or is it shahwatan? No, it's not for desire. I have a purpose for why I need it. Bismillah, go for it. You feel me? Everyone understand how he's going at this? Let me read it from Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba, inshallah ta'ala. He says, listen, amma haramuha, as for the haram of the dunya, that was that first category. Fatardun wa adab, this is going to push you away from Allah and there's punishment. Wa shiddatul hirmani aydan wa hijab, this will deprive you and become a barrier between you and Allah. He says next, وَشُبُهَاتُهَا إِتَابٌ فِي الْقِيَامِ, and the doubtful stuff, you're going to have to, you're going to be blamed by Allah when you stand before Him. وَظُلُمَاتٍ وَخِصَامٍ وَمَلَامٍ. And this is darkness, and this is blameworthy actions. This was the doubtful category. وَأَخْذُ حَلَالَهَا. Now the third category, halal. تَفَاخُرًا. But you did it to show off. حِسَاب. You're going to be asked about that then. وَأَخْذُهُ تَكَاثُرًا. Oh, not to show off, but I did it because I want more. غَدًا إِقَاب. Tomorrow you're going to be questioned about that. Tomorrow you're going to be questioned about it. وَأَخْذُهُ لِشَحْوَةٍ حِسَابٍ. He says, and if you got it, just you acquired it just for desires only, Sheikh Ahmad Ubamba rahimahullah, he says what? Hisab. You got to account for that. غَدًا وَحَسْبٌ فِيهِ وَتَرْتَابٍ. He's like, and you'll be held back for it. You'll be held back for it. What does that mean? You know, Uthman bin Affan, the Prophet ﷺ once saw him in a dream, and he told Uthman bin Affan that, radiallahu anhu, Uthman is one of the close companions of the Prophet ﷺ. He's like, I saw us all on the Day of Judgment, and we were all moving forward, Uthman, and you were behind us, catching up. So Uthman, he got really worried, radiallahu anhu. And he's like, why? What did I do? And he's like, no, you didn't do anything wrong. You just had more stuff. And your accounting took longer. Your reckoning took longer. So we lived light lives. Like, our lives were light. We didn't have a lot. You know, like I said before, you do taxes. Like, dude like me, taxes is quick, yo. You know what I mean? Some of us, taxes is quick. You know what I mean? Dude looks at it, he's like, oh, all right, cool. You done, right? Other people, I have this account. I got that account. I got that account, right? It takes longer, right? Masha'Allah. Masha'Allah. I'm not hating on nobody, yo. May Allah bless y'all, inshallah. I'm just speaking for myself. Mine's quick, yo. Right? So anyways, so Uthman bin Affan, radiallahu anh, guys, he's like, why was I held back? He's like, you weren't held back for anything wrong. You just had more stuff. Your reckoning took longer. And he immediately gave everything in sadaqah right there. He's like, what? Sadaqah. It's all in the path of Allah. But he was blessed. The moment he would give is like, he had barakah. It'll just keep coming, mashallah. Mashallah. So what is he saying? He says, it'll hold you up. But then he says, وَأَخْذُهُ التِّيَاتًا أَوْ تَعَتُّفًا عَلَى الْوَرَىٰ أَوْ عَنْهُمْ تَعَتُّفًا. He says, now, if you take from the dunya carefully, and for what reason? Look at the reason he says. And you take it so you're not dependent on anyone. Like, that's your intention. My intention is I don't have to ask anyone for a handout. I don't have to ask anyone to help me out. And I want to help other people. He says, if that's your intention, وَأَخْذُهُ إِحْتِيَاتًا أَوْ تَعَتُّفًا عَلَى الْوَرَىٰ أَوْ عَنْهُمْ تَعَفُّفًا لِيَسْلَمُوا مِنْهُ, so that they're protected from you, وَيَسْلَمُوا لَهُ, and they come to you for help. دِينٌ لَهُ خَيْرْ ثَوَابٌ. This is the deen, and this is what you get reward for. So look at, it's beautiful. It's all about your intention, guys. Like, make all the money you want, straight up. Like make all the money you want. But the point is why you're doing it. That's what you got to question yourself about. What's my intention? Is my intention just to show off and just to be known as the dude that's rolling up in that whip? Is that my intention? So everyone looks like, dang, who's that? Is that my intention? Or is my intention, why? So I could serve humanity, truly, and ask yourself, serve other people, and secondly, what's the other reason? So I don't have to beg people, man. I don't have to ask anyone for anything. That's a beautiful quality to have. So he says, if that's your intention, خُذْ لَهُ. He says, take all you need, yo. Take what you can, take whatever. ثُمَّ الْكَفَافُ, almost done, inshallah. ثُمَّ الْكَفَافُ هَاهُنَا أَفْضَلُ مِنْ فَقْرٍ وَمِنْ غِنَانٍ. لِدَفْءِ مَا يَعِنْ. He says, now here's the deal. ثُمَّ كَفَاف. Thereafter, he says, Sheikh Ahmad Ubamba says, thereafter, كَفَاف. Enough is better than poverty and richness. Enough is better than these two extremes. Poverty will throw you off. You won't be able to pray. You won't be able to do so. You can't even focus on your deen. You can't go to the masjid. Like, it throws you off. But so does wealth. Too much of it. So what does he say? Kafaf. What's kafaf mean, everyone? Enough. Enough. Have you ever seen that, like, bell curve? That happiness, wealth, bell curve. All right, cool. Check it out. Google it, y'all. Check it out. It's pretty legit. Like, there's this point where the more you acquire, it doesn't increase your happiness anymore. Like, and that number is really interesting. The number tops off at, like right where you got enough. You know what I'm saying? So there's a point where the quality of life does increase when you get more. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're making, and here in Dallas, I'm using Dallas only, right? You, like, Arlington, I'm going to use Arlington, okay? You go up a little higher, it's a little different up there, right? Let's use Arlington, right? Whatever. So there's a point, I'm not going to throw numbers, but y'all get the point. There's a point in life where a certain salary, now life of quality of life is getting better. Another 10 grand, quality of life a little better. Another 10 grand, you know, I can go to Lifetime Fitness now. I don't got to go to Planet Fitness no more. Right? Quality of life is getting a little better. But there's a certain point. Yo, ain't nothing wrong with Planet Fitness, yo. There's nothing wrong with Planet. Yo, get it in. I'm trying to make another point. My point is that we always relate getting more and more and more to more happiness. And I know this is cliche, but it's still not out of us yet. And the point is that there's this point where now the more you make is just busying you more. You're just more busy. It's not actually bettering the quality of your life. You got a few more square feet of your house. You got a little bit of bigger backyard. You know what I'm saying? You got a few extra things, but it wasn't worth all that effort that you were putting into it. You know what I mean? And so this is what he's trying to say, is that the dean says, no, we don't. The dean never says be poor. And the dean also doesn't say be rich. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ chose a life of poverty. You know why one of the scholars say he chose a life of poverty? So that it wasn't a sunnah to be rich. Because then everybody be like, yo, it's sunnah, yo. I'm getting paid. Right? And then poverty, it's a whole different issue. But poverty becomes like a crime in the society we live in, right? That's a different issue. But my point is that the goal of the believer is to find that sweet spot of kafaf. And that's where we want to be at, not too little and not too low. And we always struggle for that balance. He says, وَصَاحِبُ الْغِنَى إِنْ يَكُنْ شَكُورٌ. This is beautiful. He says, but the rich person, like, say you sitting in here, you all like shy because you like, you know, you loaded, right? He said, this is for you. If somebody in here got stacks, right? You don't got a yes or no, just whatever. وَصَاحِبُ الْغِنَى. Look what he says, it's beautiful. وَصَاحِبُ الْغِنَى. And whoever up in this room is wealthy, إِنْ يَكُنْ شَكُورٌ. If you're grateful, يَفُقْ عَلَى ذِي فَحْقَ كَانَ صَبُورٌ. The hadith say you get more reward than the poor person who's patient. The one who has a lot and is grateful for everything they have. The hadith say you get more reward than the person who's in poverty and just patient. But the condition is gratitude. And the other condition, brothers and sisters, and we'll stop here, is that it's not in your heart, yo. It's not in your heart. It's not in your heart. One of the scholars said, your heart is like a boat. The dunya is like the water that you sail on. What happens if the water gets in the boat? So long as the water stays under the boat, y'all, we're good. Sail as far and as fast as you want. But when that dunya, the water, gets in your heart, Sheikh, how do I know if it's in my heart? Take it away. You start crying? You get all angry? You get sad? Take it away. See what happens. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you take a teenager, you take that PlayStation away, he's going crazy. It's in his heart. It's deep in his heart. Right? Huh? Fortnite, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So the sign, simply, guys, the sign of it being in your heart is if it's taken away. Sometimes Allah takes it away just for you to be aware of what's in your heart and what's not. Like, he's cleaning that. He's taking that love of it out of your heart. So again, this beautiful lesson about dunya. The idea, brothers and sisters, is that we focus on our akhirah, because the more you focus on your dunya, the more you're not focusing on your akhirah. Right? And that's the goal. Like, we are quickly through this. I'm going to end with that hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Mali wa li dunya." What do I have to do with the dunya? Mathali wa mathali dunya. The example of me and the dunya is like a person riding on a horse, sees a tree, sits under the tree, rests, sleeps, knocks out for a bit, wakes up, gets back on the horse and keeps rolling. He didn't even think about the tree. Didn't set up shop at the tree. Another scholar said, dunya is like a train station, man. Like, who really gets comfortable at the train station? You don't. You know you're there for a second, you keep rolling. So that's the objective, brothers and sisters. And the last thing, what's the benefit of knowing this? The benefit is the hardships of the dunya become real light on you, yo. Dunya don't stress you out when you know you're just here for a minute, yo. I'll say that again. Dunya won't stress you out when you realize you're just here for a short time. You feel me? When you that's the thing. That's the thing that keeps us so calm. The mu'min's like, whatever. This is short. But when this is all you got, and this is all you focused on, and this is all you invested on, it's going to stress you out. Because this is all I got. So again, brothers and sisters, this is something for us to do, is to just keep that akhirah in front of you. That if we keep that akhirah in front of you, and that's what I'm striving for, and this dunya, you're like, yo, the cars, the houses, this, that, whatever. The money, the fame, the likes, that's all dunya. Yeah, Issa. So I found that hadith in Ihya al-Umideen, but I can find the actual source of it for you right after. Imam Ahmed, he narrated in his Musnad. Inside joke. No, it is though. That is one. That is it. I'm not joking. Okay, I'll just tell the joke. So the joke is, so I don't want people feeling left out. Imam Ahmed, he wrote a very, very comprehensive hadith book. And so if you don't know where the hadith came from, if you normally say Rawahu, it's in Imam Ahmed's book, it's 99% going to be in there. And so the students here of Qalam, they kind of know that, and that's why they was like, Imam Ahmed. No, but it is actually in that book. Okay, cool. Very important lesson. Spend some time thinking about this. Throughout the Quran, Allah reminds us, dunya is short. It's not worth it. Khayrun wa abaqa. Not only is it short, but it's not even worth it, right? So contemplate over that for a bit. Any other questions, inshallah ta'ala? Yes. Yeah, great question. Thank you. She's like, okay, you're saying don't love anything, nothing in your heart except Allah. What about my mom? What about my brother? What about my Qasim, right? What about, right? What about Maria? Right? How do you reconcile that? So it's beautiful. I've shared this with you before. Hassan or Hussein, one of them, asked their father the same question, that, O our father, do you love us? He said, yes. He's like, do you love my brother? He's like, yes. He's like, how do you love us and love Allah? You only got one heart. And he said to him, I love you for the sake of Allah. I love you because God told me to love you. Do you understand what that means? Like, my love for those people is part of my love for the sake of Allah. You understand? That is part of, that is not dunya anymore. That is no longer dunya, because serving them, taking care of them, loving them is getting me closer to Allah, right? Exactly. So as long as those that you love are, you're loving them for the sake of Allah, then that. But the problem is when we love those people not for the sake of Allah, but just because they're our brother, sister, or mother, father, whatever. What do I mean by that? They're doing something haram and I'm still helping them? Like, they're doing something haram. He's buying like drugs or something and you're like, yo, it's my brother, whatever, here. Like, you don't love, that's not for the sake of Allah. That's because you have a natural love for them. And that's why you're helping them with this thing that's wrong and harmful for them. So again, as long as that love is truly for Allah's sake, then all of that is not dunya at all. Yes. Yes, we're talking about the different types of nafs, yes. Yeah.
Where is the bar for that?
That's nafs al-lawama for sure. And in that hasanat yudhibna sayyat, the bad deeds are erased by the righteous deeds. That's that war that's always happening.
I mean, once you give up those good deeds, then now you slip into amara, right? So you got to keep up those good deeds. The best way, remember this, the best way to increase in spirituality is not doing more good, but stopping the wrong. Always remember this. The best way to become a better connection with Allah is not, I'm just going to pray more. It's just whatever is haram, just back up from that. Even with a little bit of good, you'll be great. The example that one of the sheikhs gave was the air condition, right? In the car. Like if the car, if you got the windows down and the air condition's on blast, it's just a way, it's going out the window. But the moment you close the windows and just put a little bit of AC on, car gets cool. One scholar said that's the relationship with your good deeds and bad deeds. If you roll up the window, stop the bad deeds, and just put a little bit of AC on, be feeling great. Got it? But if the window's all the way down, you got to blast that AC. And that's most of us. Straight up, right? That's most of us. Any other questions about, yes, Dunya? What does want mean? Like just want, only because I want it. So there's buying because I need it, right? There's buying because I need something. There's some justification, like something. Like I got some justification for that new tablet, right? I don't know. No, I think jewelry, the question is jewelry. I mean, bismillah, yo. I got you. I had to think. In the law, Jamil yuhibbul Jamal. The Prophet ﷺ in one hadith, he saw a man. Listen, this is a good question. This follow-up stuff is really good for us to really comprehend this dunya stuff. A man was once dressed in a really, really rough state in front of the Prophet ﷺ. Like his clothes were all over the place. And the Prophet ﷺ, he looked at him, he's like, do you have wealth? He's like, yeah, I got money. He's like, what kind of wealth do you have? He's like, I got all types. I got cows. He's talking about like their stuff. He's like, I got cows. I got goats. I got this. I got some gold too. He's like, إِنَّ اللَّهُ يُحِبْ أَنْ يَرَىٰ أَثَرَ نِعْمِهِ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ. Allah loves to see the effect of his blessing on his servant. So show some of that wealth on you. There's your intention, all right? You got it? The Prophet ﷺ said, can we see some of that bling you got? Like, show some of it. Imam Malik used to dress in like very expensive clothing. Gucci, maybe, whatever. Imam Malik used to also use the most expensive itar as well. Right? The most expensive itar as well. Again, the intention is not showing off. Right? The intention is that hadith. Your intention, when you buy that, is literally that hadith I just said. Your intention is that I heard a hadith, and I'll give you the reference too, so you can be like Bukhari, whatever, right? Like I heard a hadith that Allah loves to see the blessing on the person. So yeah, we're not supposed to be sitting here like looking all like, nah, rough. And the other hadith you can remember is in the Allah Jamil yuhibbul Jamal. Allah is beauty, he loves beauty. So adorn yourself, right? There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, great question, alhamdulillah. No, seriously. Great question. Someone asked me this last week. How do we control the? We talked about buying it to show off. We talked about buying it to just acquire more or desire, right? So he's like, how do we check our intention? All we need to start doing for most of us is just asking ourselves why. For most of us, we do actions and we don't ask why. Do you know what I mean? The why, the intention is simply why are you doing it? Any action, correct? That's what intention means, right? So all we have to actually start doing right now is just start the process of questioning the intent behind actions. That's the first step. You feel me? Then after that, once you see a bad intention, now you got to analyze that intention. Because if you're doing it to show off, for example, you have a problem with attention. Like you need attention. You've missed something in your life. Your dad didn't hold you enough or something. And you need attention. No, I'm not trying to like belittle no one, but I'm just saying, like, there's something wrong. You have to fix something. If you need to be, what's the word, validated by people seeing you with this nice stuff, you have something inside you have to go to a psychologist for and talk about. So you ask yourself why, and then be true. Like, why do I want to buy that next car, right? I have a car right now. Why do I want that one? Be true to yourself. You don't have to answer to no one.
if you find that it's one of those, yeah, true to Allah and yourself. Once you find what that reason is, now you have to start fixing that intention. Right? You got to start fixing that intention. Yes, and then be true with the response. What is my real reason? Sometimes we're not even true with ourselves. Like, I'll want to buy something. And she left. All right. I'll want to buy something and my what? Oh, dang. I'll want to buy something. And literally, like, this is what a good spouse does to you, too. Or a good friend. A good friend. Like, they'll be like, why do you want that? And you're like, because. And you're like, they're like, no, why? Why do you need that? And you have no reason for it. You get what I'm saying? Then you know this is just nuffs, yo. Pure nuffs. Yes.
So if your reasoning is because it makes me happy, is that another nuff?
See, but didn't we say things shouldn't be the things making us happy, though? Isn't that kind of problematic?
Yeah.
Don't people go shopping just because they feel bad? Mm-hmm. And isn't that what we're trying to say? We shouldn't look for that happiness through that thing? We're done. Let's make dua, inshallah. Bismillah. One second.
There's a mother that had a comment. I just wanted to read it out.
Yeah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum.
I told my son about Nashhadu and just was so impacted by this way of thinking about it. And he's 15. And he really appreciated it as well.
Allahu Akbar. SubhanAllah. Our gathering here, way down in Arlington, people all over, alhamdulillah, are benefiting from Sheikh Ahmadu Bamba and us reading these things. These lessons, again, are spiritual lessons. These are lessons that most of us, we didn't really learn in depth. And the point and reason why we're studying this is to get Islam on a deeper level, not such a superficial, shallow understanding of Islam, right? And so, again, buying things, purchasing for the purpose of happiness is not what we do, right? We don't want that to be what we do. We want happiness through another. We want happiness from another source. So again, we'll have to analyze that in more detail, inshallah ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our coming here together. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim. Ya Allah, we ask you to forgive our sins, ya Rabbil alameen. We ask you to clean our hearts, ya Allah. Clean our hearts from any love of this dunya, ya Rabbil alameen. We ask you to bless us with khair and goodness, ya Rabbil alameen. We ask you to alleviate the suffering of our brothers and sisters in Gaza, ya Rabbil alameen. We ask you to make it easy for them, ya Allah. We ask you to make it easy for them, ya Allah. We ask you to ease the suffering of Muslims anywhere around the world, ya Rabbil alameen. Ya Allah, those of our family members who have passed away, we ask you to give them Jannatul Firdaus, ya Allah. Those of our family members who are sick, we ask you to give them Shifa Kamil, Ajil Mustamir, ya Rabbil Alameen. Ya Allah, accept us. Ya Allah, accept us. Ya Allah, please accept us, ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa akhru da'wana anil hamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.